1967 was a tragic year in Illinois for tornadoes. Published in the Southwest Newspaper Group, February 9, 2017, by Ray Hanania. This year is the golden anniversary of one of the most tragic years in the lives of many baby boomers who still remember that far back to 1967. It was kind of a wake-up call for many of us as we climbed out of mental nuclear bomb shelters made of wooden elementary school desks and realized that Sputnik was just a steel ball with antennas. 1967 started out with many momentous anniversaries, like the one that just passed, January 26th through 27th, when 23 inches of snow slammed Chicagoland and buried us forever in memories. A second major snowstorm hit Chicago 12 years later in 1979, changing Chicago politics forever. Although I am surprised that today many young people don't know who Jane M. Byrne is, an icon of women's achievement as Chicago's first woman mayor. The blizzard blurred, at least for Chicagoans, the other big news of January 27th that shook the country. During a pre-launch test of Apollo 1 at Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral in Florida, the interior command module of NASA's Apollo spacecraft exploded in fire, killing astronauts Virgil Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee. Grissom was the first of the Mercury 7 astronauts to die. That disaster never made it to Hollywood. Tom Hanks played astronaut Jim Lovell, who survived in the failed Apollo 13 as it approached a moon landing in April 1970. But those weren't the only big events of 1967, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, the Vietnam War was raging, and LBJ, President Lyndon Baines Johnson, began a major escalation in troops that eventually surpassed 500,000 American soldiers. It was at about that time that the mainstream news media started to really cover the war, with TV blasting shocking images, not only of Americans being killed, but Americans also killing innocent Vietnamese civilians. LBJ had screamed at the head of CBS when Morley Safer broadcast the burning down of a small Vietnamese village months earlier, but that was just the beginning of our atrocities there. Locally, it turned out to be a terrible year too. April 21, 1967 started out as a beautiful, clear beginning to spring, but by late in the afternoon, it quickly changed as tornadoes slammed into two regions of Illinois. One of the tornadoes hit Belvedere in Boone County near the Wisconsin border. Only 4 minutes on the ground, it took the lives of 23 people, including 13 children. More than 500 people were injured in the devastation that nearly destroyed the small town and its school. Right about the same time, tornadoes started appearing northeast of Joliet, and at around 4:45 p.m. that day, one slammed hard into Oak Lawn, digging a trench of destruction 16 miles long that damaged Hometown and Evergreen Park, other neighboring communities, as the storm wound down near Rainbow Beach along Chicago's Lake Michigan banks further east. The tornado, racing through the suburbs at 600 miles per hour, took the lives of 33 people and injured more than 1,000 others. It destroyed 152 homes and damaged 900 more all the way to the lake. The south end and the east wall of Oak Lawn High School had been destroyed, and the clocks in the school stopped at 5:26 p.m. The tornado threw cars stopped at a red light on Southwest Highway at 95th Street like toys, killing 16 people just at that location. Many report that the tornado first touched down atop the single-screen Starlight Drive-In Theater at 6400 West 95th Street. The drive-in theater was devastated, and although it was later repaired, it ended up closing in 1979. There was a lot of drive-ins at the time, including the double drive-in, 2800 West Columbus Avenue, the Bel Air Drive-In at 31st and Cicero Avenue, and the Sheridan Drive-In at 178th in Harlem. There was something fun about drive-in movies, something we don't get to see today anymore. I'm thinking there's still time to organize a memorial or commemoration for that devastating tornadoes. If you have memories of the 1967 tornado devastation, please share it by emailing me, and I'll try to run some of the letters at rghanania@gmail.com. A few days later, on April 25th, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a protest against the Vietnam War, drawing criticism from many civil rights leaders who claimed his war opposition was drawing attention away from the civil rights movement. A year later, King was murdered. Many believe his anti-war activities fueled his assassination. King's death sparked an increase in racial tensions. Realtors exploited those tensions by encouraging white flight from the city. I lived on the southeast side of Chicago during that white flight, and you can read about that story in an online book I authored called Midnight Flight on my personal website at thedailyhookah.com. I'm Ray Hanania. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate it, and thanks for reading my columns. I'm not a journalist or a reporter, but I do write opinion column commentaries like the one you just heard. I write about American politics and issues for a group of newspapers in Chicago, the Southwest Newspaper Group. I also write about Middle East politics and issues for the Arab News in Saudi Arabia at arabnews.com and for the American Arab Online News and Opinion website, thearabdailynews.com. I archive all my columns on my personal website at thedailyhookah.com, where you can also find info on my books, my biography, and you can contact me. I love to hear what you think, even if we don't agree. I hope you will share your opinions. Recently, I also launched a new website called biasreporting.com, which documents instances of bias and bigotry by the mainstream American news media. I believe today's American mainstream news media is corrupt. Over the years, it has been the driving force fueling the racism and hatred against minorities, including against blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Muslims, Arabs, and especially Palestinians. Oh, sure, some reporters do a great job, but the system is corrupt and broken because many others do not. The news media is the biggest political organization in America today, and it excludes and attacks those who challenge their political biases, their sacred cows, and their bigotry. Instead of being objective and fair reporters, many hide behind the concept of a free press and free press freedoms to twist news to reflect their partisan and subjective views and opinions and to push their favorites. They give you opinion under the fake guise of being objective when they are not. If they like you, they are fair. If they don't like you, you have no chance. Biased reporters can be vicious, and they are the biggest hypocrites. If you criticize them, they whine, cry, foul, and respond with even more venom and bias. I want to change that. America needs an objective and fair news media that reports the facts, not their opinions. And when they do express opinions, they must do so openly and honestly with their names and be accountable for those views. That's what I do. I hope you check it out and visit biasreporting.com. I also hope you support all my online efforts on Facebook and on Twitter. Thank you again for your time and your support.